This podcast is brought to you by Homul Casino Resort, the player's place.
Oh, yeah. Good morning, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3, The Fan. Winter meetings in full effect. A little Padres news for you. We'll have some Padres audio. A little Padres action today. I like that. Maybe a little something bubbling out there in Orlando right now. Welcome in. Let's get our heads right.
Maybe a big something.
Maybe could be a big something, depending on if you believe the rumors or not. I've got some feelers out, so as soon as my feelers come through, we will see what we can find out for you guys, man. That's what we live to do, is take care of our tier ones. You guys are incredible. Best audience in radio. It's not even particularly close. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer of the program. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. How's your head? My head's not right today. Not necessarily.
My head's okay.
Your voice is a little scratchy. How's your throat?
My throat is fine. I did a lot of talking at my luncheon yesterday. Just kind of stream of consciousness for about 45 minutes.
Did you? Was it really stream of consciousness?
Yeah, I just blabbered and blabbered and blabbered you did? On until
was it like
time was I, up, apparently.
Was it like, these dudes aren't asking anything, so I just have to vamp and riff for 45 minutes?
No, they actually ended up with a lot of good questions, but I just, you know, they wanted to ask about you. A lot of people asked about you.
No.
Curious about Woods.
What do they want to know?
What's Woods really like?
Just like he is on
How
the radio.
How nervous does he make you? You know.
How nervous.
Let's go through these questions. All right. What are the? I want to know about the questions about me.
No, I mean, just the typical. I get the same questions about you all the time.
Like what?
Like, you know, what's Woodsy really like? And
what do you tell him?
I mean, how does... I tell him that he is exactly like you hear him on the radio. In fact, no one has ever been more authentic or open or genuine about their life on the radio than Stephen Woods.
One of my favorite emails that Adam ever got. Because I have my language can be a little salty at times. And I was being salty on the air. And a guy wrote Adam and he was upset about it. This is a couple of years ago. And he was upset about it. And he goes, Adam, he would never talk in front of his children that way. And Adam goes, yes, he would. You don't know him.
I'm like, actually, that's exactly how he talks to his
Because I've literally seen him with his kids. And he talks the same. He's the same guy. And the guy goes, oh, well, in that case, that's pretty cool. All right, now I'll give him another shot. Yeah. Taylor actually asked me the other day, he goes, Dad, could you not use bad language? And I looked at him, my five-year-old. He goes, could you not use bad language? And I go, no. Taylor, this is how I talk. I'm sorry, but I'll try to mitigate it or
that's really the only difference is you can't use the bad language directly on the air. So you just have to hint at it. But otherwise, you're the exact same person when the microphone goes on and off. There really is no change whatsoever.
Yeah, like I'm kind of bitchy today. And I'm not sad, but my head's not right. Like I just am like, I don't know what it is. Is it the end of the year? Is it
the weight of the holidays?
I have no idea.
I have trouble this month. It just feels like there's just always something else you feel like you should be doing. You're not doing enough in terms of getting ready for the holidays, whether it's shopping or festivities or enough holiday cheer. It's just never quite enough. And then you have to set everything else in your life aside. But work doesn't stop. At least it doesn't for us for another couple of weeks.
Yeah.
You still have every single responsibility that you normally have thrown on with everything else. It makes it hard for me to get into the holiday spirit. It just feels overwhelming sometimes in December.
Yeah, I think overwhelming is... My wife handles, like, I'll say this, 99% of all of it, you know, as far as, like, the getting the gifts, the wrapping, the putting up of the tree. I really don't have to do much except for my... You know, all she asks of me is that I'm in a decent mood, and I'm struggling with that right now. You know, I've been a little snippy, been a little snappy.
I particularly like how it worked out this year. I love when, like, for us, at least, and I think a good amount of people out there, a lot of people's last day of the year is going to be the 19th, Friday the 19th, if you're checking out for the holidays. That would be the final Friday before Christmas, and I go, that's enough time for me to decompress from work and everything that led up to that, and get into the holiday spirit before Christmas.
That's a good point. You'll have a week.
If we had the extravaganza on like the 22nd, which we've had in the past.
We have. And then you're like, oh my God, it's Christmas already.
You're just grinding up until the 22nd. You get through that long day, and then it's like one day later, it's Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And you got family stuff. Like, getting a little bit of a break there in between.
That's a good point. I think it will be beneficial for all of us.
I think part of it as well is that when you do feel a little grumpy or whatever, then you feel guilty about it because it's the holiday
season.
It's
the holidays.
And you shouldn't ever feel grumpy. But you're going to, like any other time of the year, you're going to have bad days where you're not feeling it. But it's this time of year where then you add the pressure to actually, oh, I have to be festive. I have to be cheery. I have to be in good spirits and generous because, well, Christmas is coming up. And then you make yourself feel worse about it, too.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, one thing that would help my mentals a lot is that if we had a Christmas tree in here that was lit up, like all the other studios do. I was looking around. And I was like, and our buddy Hamby decorated the studio. He did a great job. He did a fantastic job. Ben's leaving.
Oh, Ben is walking into the 94.9 studio that nobody is ever in.
Never.
And I think he is unplugging their Christmas tree, and he's going to carry it over.
Bring it over. I have an idea. Let's knock this wall down and give us just one giant studio.
That would be cool.
I think that would be badass.
Yeah. That would be really cool. He's struggling right now in
the
other room.
He is really having a hard time with that.
He has to unplug the Christmas tree first, and he's not doing that.
He hasn't done that.
There we go. He has figured out, okay, the tree is still lit up. That means it's plugged in.
Watch how I get him when he walks in, too. I'm going to get him.
You should just wedge your foot up against the door and like leave it shut.
I'll help him. All right. We'll borrow this. Ooh, Ben.
Wow.
Slight problem. Slight.
What?
Oh,
I didn't really want a flocked tree. I wanted like a green tree. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. All right. How do we...
We got a plug.
We have a plug?
Got to find a plug
for it. Well,
that's
right on me, too. Okay. That does make me feel
good luck finding an outlet. We have like one in this whole studio.
A little better.
All right. Ben has brought the Christmas tree from the 94.9 studio in and placed it directly behind Woods.
Those little lights aren't twinkling, Clark. Yes, I know.
I know that, Art. Thanks for pointing it out.
Thanks for pointing that out. He worked really hard, Grandpa. So do washing machines.
Hey, if you need a hand, just come find me. I'll be upstairs sleeping.
We can work on the twinkling. Bro, you got the, you know, reach it all the way over there. And there we go.
And
we've got lights on the tree.
How's that feel?
I feel much better, actually. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Got your tree. No one was using it. Slide it a little more to the right so it can get in your camera and everyone can enjoy the festivities
to my
on
right?
YouTube. Yes, to my right.
All right.
Like behind you more. Like
there
right
you.
Up.
Oh, almost.
Keep going. Like basically cover you, Darvish.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
Oh, look at that.
You're so festive now.
I do feel better.
Why is there a beer on top of the Christmas tree?
Chris just nailed it. He said, Ben, he doesn't want you to solve the problem. He just wants you to listen.
I know.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right. I know. I like to solve the problem. So I don't have to listen anymore.
We've talked about this before.
I know.
I really just wanted to vent to you.
We were doing play-by-play of you in the other studio there. You had a little trouble. You had to unplug the Christmas tree before you could move it.
So it was one of those very Christmas vacation-esque where there were seven plugs into the same... all the different...
You probably shut down their whole system in there.
I might have.
Boop, 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 boop.
You knock the air alert.
Knock them off the air. Yeah, all right, that helps. Now, maybe if we... Just a dim. Just a quick...
That didn't do anything. Turn off the lights in here.
There we go.
Ooh, sexy.
Nice.
We are talking. Now we're talking. Okay. That does make me feel a little bit better. It feels a little more Christmassy.
All right.
Now we've got guests coming in today. There's a kid. His name's Aiden, and he's from Arizona. He goes to Arizona State. He's a burgeoning broadcaster. So he's the kid I met with when I went out to Arizona. I had coffee with him, you know, talked to him about this gig. And
Arizona's concierge.
Arizona's concierge. Can you believe it? Go out there for a baseball tournament. Hey, Woodsy, will you meet with this kid?
We'll be out there in about a month from now.
Sure.
If anybody in Phoenix has any chores that need to be done.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Around the house, you need groceries picked up.
Yeah, be happy to do anything. You need your tires changed. You're probably on the wrong show. But so he's going to come in. He wants to observe from 8 to 10. Our pal John Connor from Mad Friars is coming in. Talk about the future of the San Diego Padres. The draft, you know, the MLB draft lottery is today. We do not have a chance at the first pick in the draft today. The San Diego Padres do not. But talk about the guys down in the minor leagues. They have dedicated their lives to covering these prospects that are all eventually traded at some point. So I want to ask him about that. Do you ever feel, John, like you're spinning your wheels covering the, like we said, I said yesterday, don't fall in love with San Diego Padres pitchers or anything like that, because they're not going to be here very long. Imagine how those guys at Mad Friars feel. They're like, I am high on this guy. I love this guy. Gone.
He's gone.
I like this guy, though. He's gone. I mean, it is just crazy.
Everybody around baseball is saying the Padres system is as bare as it's been. AJ will disagree. He will always say, yeah, I think there's some prospects that people in the sport kind of value that aren't really being talked about, but who are they? Where are these names that AJ Preller seems to think that he could actually deal for major league talent again this year if he needs to at the trading deadline? I'm not sure if they exist right now. We'll talk to John Conniff about that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So that really helped the mood. I don't know. I don't know what it is for me. I just, you know, you go through these things and you're like, oh, I woke up at 3 this morning because my 7-year-old, almost 8, had a sore throat. So he came in, got in bed, sore throat, you know, and was like, and was doing the soft launch of like, should I just stay home? And I'm like, yeah, no one's going to be here. Mom's got to work. I got to work. I could pick you up maybe a little early. If you can't make it through, I'll go to the gym and then I'll come get you at like noon. So he soft launched that this morning. So we'll see how that works. You know the drill. I got a question for you, a practical question. I'll turn it over to the parents out there. Obviously, he's 7. He's going to be 8 in February. That's way too young to leave somebody home alone while you go to work. 8 is way too young. Now, he is well responsible above his... bro, you've never seen a 7-year-old regulate like he does. Like, he'll have ice cream and go, I've had too much. Mom, I've done my 30 minutes on the iPad. He's a rule follower.
He's like a little Ben.
He is like a little Ben, except he's cool and super athletic. And so,
jeez,
I know. I had to. It's right there, Paulie. Put it on a tee. What am I going to do? I mean, I'm in a bad mood, but I'm still me, you know, at the end of the day.
Brutal.
So that's obviously too young. When did you, as a parent, feel ever comfortable saying, even let's say, I'm going to go to the store. I know you're watching your movie or you're doing your homework.
I think very fine at 12.
Okay, that's a long time.
But you could push it a little bit.
10?
Yeah, I mean, you've got cameras all over your house as well.
We really do, and he's got an Apple Watch that he can call us from.
I think when I was like 9 or 10, I was able to start walking home because I was close enough to the school,
okay,
and parents were fine with that.
That's way more dangerous than being home alone, I think.
Probably. So, 100%. Yeah. 100%. There's a diddlers in your home. Diddlers on the way home from school.
Cars.
And vans and stuff.
All kinds of dangers out there. Yeah. Once you're at your home, you're probably in good shape, especially if you trust him.
I also feel like 20 plus years ago
in the next year or two, you can schedule short, like an outing. You know what, Bo, I'll be back in 15 minutes.
Yeah, I'm going to run down to the gas station.
See how it goes. Just, you know, you're going to run down to the gas station, grab something at the grocery store, at the convenience store. That goes well, then you might expand it to an hour and see how that goes. And then by the time he's 10 or 11, if you want to be gone for 2 hours, maybe tops, that I can see that being okay at this point, if you trust him.
Yeah, definitely not. This is way too young.
Now, I wouldn't let both of them together at the same time.
Absolutely not.
Dude. Turn the house down.
Taylor won't stay home alone till he's 18. there's no question. But I do think like 10 is probably like, hey man, you're sick. And again, mom's going to work. I'll be home by 11, right? Like I think a few hours when you're 10, maybe 11. I was just trying to think when I was a kid, but I feel like, again, not to do it was back in my day, but like I feel like our generation was had to be a little bit more. Like I learned how to literally cook on the stove when I was 6. Like I knew how to make a grilled cheese sandwich on the hot fire stove, on the gas stove, with a pan, the butter, the whole bit, when I was 6 years old. Spatula, standing on a chair. On a chair, making fried egg sandwiches and grilled cheese sandwiches on a hot stove at 6 years old. I bring my son close. I'm like, hey, let's brown this meat. He's like, ah, the fire, you know? So I don't know. I don't know the right answer. We were a little bit more self-sufficient, I think, back then, because we had to be. I had single mom for a lot of my life.
My mom worked until 5. Like, I got out of school at 2:15. I had to walk home and figure it out.
Yeah, figure out how to make a snack. I had to make oatmeal for myself.
I don't have children, but I think we've talked about it before. Like, I have friends that have children that are even older than Bo. Like, sleepovers are not so much a thing anymore.
We don't do those anymore.
That was every Friday night growing up. Like, you were always at somebody else's house.
There's like a couple families I would do it. Also,
but
I don't want your kids.
Not as common as it was.
No,
right?
I don't want your kids at my house spending the night. I'll lose my mind. I love having them over to hang, but
I think what it was back in our day, even if we had computers and the internet, maybe, like in my case, not so much your guys' case.
Yeah, we didn't have that.
What you don't know won't hurt you. We didn't know. We didn't have apps that can tell us there's a sex offender that lives in that house right there the street.
Down the street.
There, you could find that information on the internet. It was not so readily available. And all the bad stuff that we know about and have to be aware of now, we just weren't aware of it as much.
KG says it's crazy how kids don't hang out at each other's houses anymore. I beg to differ, man. We've got in our neighborhood, we've got it's a 4-house rotation. And it's mine, it's the house across the street, and then 2 houses that are 5 houses down, about a 6-minute walk. And they make the rounds there, and it'll be 4 kids at a time at each house. Or 2 kids at a time at each house. They hang out, they play in the streets. Like, it hasn't changed all that much. The only difference is, you know, there's a lot more to worry about. You know, I don't know if there's a gun in someone's home, right, if it's easily accessible. I don't know if their dad, you know, likes to take a couple bumps at night. I have no idea. Like, I have no clue about, I know them, but I don't know, like, I don't know what's in their home. I've never been in their homes. My kids have. So I don't know what's happening. And that's, you know, a little dicey. Now, my parents also didn't know what was happening back in the 80s and stuff. It's not that they didn't care. It's just different now. We are way more protective, and I think we have to be. Like, I told both my kids, I'm tracking both of your asses until you're 18 years old. When you're 17 and a half, I'm going to be like, why are you here? Why did you stop at that gas station? What are you doing? You stealing something? You buying beer? What are you doing? I'm tracking your car. Sorry. Like, absolutely sorry. But just the way it is.
Apparently, if you wanted to leave them alone, you're on solid legal ground. Jocelyn says she was told by Carlsbad police, there's no law about leaving them at home at any age, as long as they're deemed responsible by you and the cops when nosy neighborhood Karen calls them on you. So it's up to you to decide when your kids are old and responsible enough to be left alone.
The guilt of, like, if something happened, like if he went to the pantry and, like, was reaching and the whole thing crashed on top
of him.
When
you say he's
not
feeling well, you definitely wouldn't want to leave him home when he's not. Like, if he's completely healthy and you're like, hey, we're going to run to the store for an hour, can you handle it? I think that's different than, hey, I know you're sick. Daddy will be home at 11.
Yeah.
There's so many more things to distract them nowadays. I mean, like you said, you put an iPad in front of them, they'll lose track of time fast. You know, you've been gone for 2 hours. I didn't even notice. I popped on a movie, whatever. Back in our day, you had nothing other than trouble to get into. Like, I'm bored. What are we kind of missing?
Let's go light some stuff on fire.
That looks like fun. I don't have any video games or anything. Let's burn things.
Told you, my first time I ever came home in a police car, I was in 6th grade, and we lit a fire in my friend's backyard. We were lighting fireworks, but my dad and mom standing on the front, like on the stoop, as the police car rolls up. I'm in 6th grade. They're like, very cool. Very, very cool. I'm like, it was an accident. We were lighting fireworks. One got away, and this kid's name, by the way, his name was Niels.
Niels.
Not Neil. His name was Niels.
Not Niles.
Not Niles. Niels.
Niels.
N-E-I-L-S.
Not nails.
Not nails.
Niels.
Niels. And not K-N-E-E-L-S. N-E-I-L-S. Niels. And we literally burned down 60% of his backyard. Dry grass, lighting fireworks back there. And
was he Danish?
His name was Niels Anderson.
It was like Niels Bohr, like the Danish physicist.
Could be.
Niels.
But I just think, you know, my dad was like, really, in the police car? I didn't get cuffed or anything, but the cops came, the firemen came. Where do you live? I'm like, right over there. He drives me home and drops me off.
That was simply for show, then.
That was a scare tactic that clearly did not work even a little bit. But, man, it was...
Were you in the back or the front?
Back.
You were in the back.
Back seat.
The cage and everything?
Cage and everything. Sixth grade,
You're
man.
Caged.
I was like, oh, my dad's like, oh, my God, he's a juvenile delinquent. My parents had only gotten married a couple years before, and he's looking at me like, very cool, very cool. Sixth grade. You've never been in the back of a cop car. Never once.
No, not even for fun.
There's nothing fun about it.
It's not fun.
It's not fun. Even when you're there, and you're there, like, if you're touring, it's still not fun.
I don't really even like being in the back of a taxi cab.
I know. Yeah, you don't even like taxi cabs. But anyway, so...
It doesn't feel good to, like, put your arms behind your back and have those cuffs dig into you.
Just sitting there like, this sucks.
Not comfortable.
It's not great, dude. It's not great.
Not that I know.
But, you don't want your kids to turn out like you, so maybe you don't leave them home alone when they're 8, 9, 10 years old. Sometimes you have to do what you have to do, and I get that. And I don't know. I sit in school pickup line every day, and I see moms and dads come pick up their kid at 2:20. They're not all morning radio show hosts, so I don't know what these people do that they're actually free to go and pick up their children. And it continues to impress me every single day. You know, the half days are coming. You know, the 2 weeks off from school.
Every year of my adult life, like during the summer, I go. I've thought like. What the hell did my mom do?
Yeah, how'd you do this? Like, how did you get through this,
my
mom?
My mom worked a lot.
9 to 5. Easy.
We get out of school. You're in fourth grade. You get out of school. You're
Where'd
just
you
like,
go?
Well, I don't remember.
I have no idea. I have no idea. I know I wasn't going to a bunch of camps and stuff.
Right.
What did I do? I think I spent a lot of time with my grandparents. I really do. I can't remember for the life of me what I did.
I can't really either.
Played outside a lot.
Played outside a ton. I mean,
somebody had to have been there, right?
We didn't have video games. We didn't have computers. Watched a lot of movies. Watched a lot of TV. Read a lot, but like swam, you know, in Texas in the summer. You go find a buddy with a pool and swim. But, man, I don't know. Anyway, can't figure it out today. I feel better.
You got your Christmas tree up.
Got the tree up.
Big Dan wants to know, does anyone notice how much Ben blinks? Well, now I'm not going to ever stop thinking about it.
Oh, no.
Do I blink too much?
Never noticed.
You've never noticed. Never.
Somebody in the chat, keep track for a minute. See how many times.
But now I'm thinking about it. Like, am I blinking too much? What's the right amount to blink?
I would have told you if you blinked.
Well, no, because you didn't tell me I walked funny until
That's true,
I asked.
But you asked me.
So,
you
hey, just asked guys, me. Do I blink too much?
On average, we blink 15 to 20 times a minute.
So once every 3 to 4 seconds.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, no, you just did it twice, back to back.
Ooh. Ooh. I do feel like there's some sort of a dry breeze going on my face right now. I may be blinking a little bit more than usual. I'm not sure why.
We have to get into these vicious rumors that are circling around right now.
Sexy rumors.
So, I mean, potentially sexy, but if you really, really play it through, I mean, it's not what you want, I think.
Really? I read it as something to get excited about. You think it's something to fear and dread.
There's a couple different ways this thing could go.
Morning, guys.
Yeah.
If it goes one way...
AJ's cooking, apparently.
Apparently, AJ is on the chair with the grilled cheese in the pan right now. Actually, AJ is in the backyard with a whole thing of fireworks. All right? And that's what I'm worried most about.
Like, he may or may not be coming home in the back of a cop car.
With his hands cuffed. I mean, again, if you believe what you read from Kevin Acey yesterday, and if you haven't heard about it yet, we will fill you in next. It's pretty interesting stuff, dude.
All right, we'll get.
I saw it last night. And I literally out loud went, "Oh,
oh, yeah, okay." Little nugget there at the end. Thank you, Kevin.
Yep.
We will get right into it from baseball's winter meetings. The hot rumors surrounding your San Diego Padres coming up. Glad to have you with us, Ben Woods. Paul, on a Tuesday morning on San Diego's number one sports station, let's get our first check of traffic with Kelly Danick this morning here on 97.3 The Fan. Blink, 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 blink.
Ooh, boy. Mama.
Man. Yeah, things are, not a lot has happened yet at the winter meetings. We'll have Sammy Leavitt joining us live coming up in 1 hour from now on our David P. Shapiro fan hotline. David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys, helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. We did hear from Craig Stammen, AJ Preller. If you follow the 97.3 The Fan social media channels, saw plenty of audio. Some comments from Craig Stammen about not converting the relief pitchers, any of them, to starting pitchers. Some people love that. Some people were angry about that yesterday. Mason Miller, though, looks like he's going to remain Padres closer going forward. Adrian Morejon, David Morgan also remaining in the bullpen, but Padres still have, you know, giant holes to plug in their starting rotation, and they won't be doing it internally with any of their relievers, at least not at this point.
Jeremiah Estrada, not mentioned.
Not mentioned. Could he be part of trade conversations, though?
Could he be one of the guys that they're looking to convert?
Are they looking to convert anyone? I didn't get the sense that they're looking to convert anyone right now.
I saw a tier one, ran into Jeremiah Estrada at the convention center a couple weeks ago, and they struck up a conversation. I guess Jeremiah told him, yeah, I'd love to start. So that's what led me to believe that maybe the omission of mentioning him, either, yeah, he's on the trade block, which I think he is. He's a very tradable asset for the San Diego Padres. I think he absolutely is they're fielding offers about him. But again, the fact that he didn't mention him as one of the three that they weren't looking to convert led me to believe that maybe they are if they don't trade him. So, you know, anything's possible. Not a huge needle mover for me either way.
I just don't know whether Jeremiah Estrada, in my mind, has a deep enough arsenal
to be a starter.
Now, you can always add pitches, work with Ruben Niebla and the staff about, you know, developing more of a repertoire if you're going to do that. Obviously, he's got the stuff to get guys out.
Like Purple just said in the chat, an Estrada type just got the Nats Harry Ford. And I think he was the number four prospect for the Nationals. He absolutely should be traded. I think what you're seeing, too.
Yeah, I think Jeremiah Estrada and Ferrer are somewhat similar.
One's righty, one's lefty, but other than that, yeah, fireballing, you know, guy that in the back end of your bullpen, you know, you could see Jeremiah Estrada used, and he has been used by the Padres in multiple different innings. Pretty versatile, pretty solid. But again, yeah, very tradable asset. But I think let's get into, before we do the, you know, Stammen audio and stuff like that, let's get into probably the biggest talking point
all
from
right,
yesterday.
So there were a couple of things that came out in a late evening piece from Kevin Acey, who is there at the winter meetings. First of all, he talked to John Seidler directly. Good work by Kevin Acey.
Yep.
Got some firm comments about Padres' payroll commitment for this year, which is especially intriguing because of the impending sale of the team, or the exploration of a sale of the team. And John Seidler said directly, we anticipate payroll will remain at a similar level to last year. We're operating the club as we have for the last 5 or 6 years.
Any wiggle room in that statement?
There's always a little bit of wiggle room.
Anticipate.
Last year's payroll, $224 million, went into the luxury tax, as they have, I think, for the last 5 seasons. That statement to me would tell you, I expect to go into the luxury tax again somewhere around that same level, that they aren't cutting back, that they will be adding payroll this offseason despite the sale.
Paulie did make the point yesterday, too, though. There's guys that are due raises, right? Have those already been doled
They've
out?
They've already been accounted for.
Everybody's
There is some room in the payroll to add right now and still get to a similar level to last year. If they didn't add anything right now, they'd be well under last year's level, which would not be consistent with what John Seidler just told Kevin Acey.
Okay.
So, you know, they will spend some money. Now, again, they can't spend on state-of-the-art Kyle Tuckers of the world. In that case, they'd be going significantly up in payroll, but they can add a couple of free agents, starting pitchers, and be able to flesh out their rotation. Where it gets really interesting is
about halfway down,
a little deeper into the article. and placement is key, because if this were truly some sort of impending breaking news, then that's the headline. That's at the top. This is one of those AJ Preller rumors that you don't know what to think. But this actual paragraph that Kevin Acey wrote, a couple of paragraphs, reads like straight AJ Preller fan fiction fantasy porn.
Whoa.
I mean, this is what he engenders at the winter meetings. Two sources familiar with the Padres discussion said Preller is shooting big. One source said the Padres are working multiple fronts that could result in deals that rival the massive trade in which they acquired four major leaguers in exchange for Juan Soto and Trent Grisham at the winter meetings 2 years ago. Another source said Preller's plans coming to fruition would make the deals he made at the past two trade deadlines pale in comparison.
Can you do it again and do it sexy?
The sources, who were not authorized to speak publicly, provided no further details. You want me to do it again?
No.
You don't want
I was
me.
Joking. Okay. Because I had to do a spot, and I had to do it sexy. Remember that?
Yes.
I had to do it again, apparently.
I mean, rumors that Preller's going bigger than Preller's gone before, though, are very interesting.
Well,
I mean,
the interesting...
He always goes big. If he's trying to make his previous moves, which are already seen as some of the biggest moves that any general manager will make, look like child's play, now see what I can do. I mean, I can't even wrap my mind around what A.J. Preller going big sounds like compared to what he's already done.
Well, I mean, the fact that Juan Soto's name is dropped in there, you go, okay, well, I mean, there's really only one guy with that kind of cachet on the roster, and it's Fernando Tatis Jr., and I think that is a... I would honestly feel, if he ended up trading Fernando Tatis Jr., and again, I don't think he will. I don't. Would you feel a little egg on your face? Because I know I would. I'd feel a little embarrassed because I've pretty much been one of those saying, you can't.
I mean, they have also said,
we won't.
So I would be very surprised if that's what it was.
I guess I don't really care about the embarrassment because it's A.J. Preller. And I said to somebody in the chat earlier, like, I've learned to throw logic out the window when it comes to covering this team and our general manager, you know? And I think, you know, you're seeing a lot of people in chat saying, I'm done. They trade that guy, I'm out, 100%. Like, that's a guy, that's a cornerstone type player. Dumb Jay goes, what's the get, though? It's fair. It's a fair question. I can't even wrap my head around what it would look like to make it go, okay, yeah, sounds good. Sounds great. Let's go. I mean, it's crazy.
I think we know A.J. Preller enough, though, that whatever he's considering will be pretty exciting on the return side for the Padres. If it's really, truly that big, that it's something that you can sink your teeth into if you're a Padres fan. I don't think just because he compared it to the Juan Soto deal necessarily means that he's looking to trade a superstar. I just thought, yeah, it was kind
players.
Of a comparison of the scope, the number of players,
the number
involved,
of players potentially. Okay,
the buzz generated okay. by that. You know, that was the biggest move two off seasons ago.
Well,
in baseball, that was the one everyone was talking about. I kind of got the sense, oh, AJ might be working on the move that everyone ends up talking about coming out of these winter meetings.
Yeah, for sure. And trust me. The other comment in the article says that he's working the phones frenetically. And the one name that jumped into my mind immediately when I read this, after Tatis, and after I kind of worked through that in my head, I went to Mason Miller, and is the one that I saw. Because if you look at it now, you go back in hindsight and you say, we traded Leodalis DeVries, who by all accounts is going to be a superstar for the Las Vegas Athletics, probably, by the time he's up and ready to play. Had a really good year with them. Traded him for J.P. Sears, who's your five right now, and didn't give you a lot of hope, and Mason Miller, who is a eighth, ninth inning elite closer type. You were going for it, and you overpaid on that deal. So you could actually get Miller with 4 years of control and get him to a team that really needs a closer. We have guys that could step into that role ASAP if Mason Miller was traded. I don't necessarily want him traded. I really enjoy watching him pitch, but I would understand it. So that's the name that jumped out to me was, all right, that's a huge, huge move. Almost like a righting of the wrong. Like, hey, yeah, I flipped Leodalis for him, but I also just got back three Leodalis DeVries. You know what I mean? Like,
so,
a desperate team that needs a guy with 4 years of control.
I agree with you, and I disagree with you. Let me explain what I mean after a quick check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. It was actually the second part of what Kevin Acey wrote that seemed almost impossible to me. He mentioned the Juan Soto deal, but when he said the deals, someone told him, a source that was not authorized to speak, said if Preller's plans coming to fruition, And not all of his plans come to fruition. He has grand plans all the time. But if these specific plans come to fruition, it would make the deals he made at the past two trade deadlines pale in comparison.
That's unreal.
Think about the last two trade deadlines and the massive amount of moves he made. First, to bolster the bullpen a couple of years ago, you know, Jason Adam, Tanner Scott. I don't know if you include Luis Arraez. That was a little earlier before the trade deadline. But then this last trade deadline with the Mason Miller and Freddie Fermin and Ramon Arellano and Ryan O'Hearn. I mean, to make those deals pale in comparison, you'd essentially have to say to a team, I'm just going to swap my entire roster for your roster.
Yeah, pretty much.
Let's do this. All right, I'm trading you all 26 of my players for all 26 of your players. There's not much that AJ could do that would make his last two trade deadlines, which are already collectively the biggest in baseball, pale in comparison. That's quite the statement that was written.
Don't challenge him about the last couple of deals. Don't challenge him because that sounds like a challenge.
So what I agree with you is that I don't think Mason Miller is untouchable.
No.
He's phenomenal. I would certainly miss him if he was gone. He weakens your bullpen tremendously if you lose him. But he could be part of a very large trade. Could you see like Mason Miller and a Jeremiah Estrada and a Jake Cronenworth and a Nick Pivetta all being traded, but not for prospects? They're not looking for the next
DeAdonis DeVries. No, the Padres aren't looking for prospects.
They need help.
They're looking for
major league talent.
They're looking for major league talent as well.
But again,
I don't know what possible fit, how many teams would have to be involved in some sort of deal that would make it intriguing and interesting and worthwhile for the San Diego Padres.
There's another name that people in the chat keep throwing up, and that's Jackson Merrill, and I don't see that happening
Hi,
at all.
This is Jackson Merrill.
I think you got him on a bargain, man, you know, with the potential that he has and plays a premium position for you in center field. $10 million a year, right? Signed a 10-year, $109 million extension. Is that right? 10-109? Does that sound...
That's 90.
Was it 90?
Jackson
Merrill.
I thought
it was 109.
It's still team-friendly.
I mean, it's massively team-friendly. That's a great...
It was 9-135.
135.
I was way off. All right, so what's that? 13 a year? Still a good deal.
Oh, yeah.
Still a good deal for a kid that is coming into, you know, his prime years over the next few years.
I can go up to 204
with incentives
okay. and if he plays really well. So
that's interesting.
I mean,
I'm not doing it.
It sucks, but he's
tradable.
The most attractive trade piece, one of them that you
Toddy, let's rank them. Fernando Tatis Jr. is number one.
No, I think Jackson Merrill is number one. In terms of like what other teams would
price, there's the price is better.
Age is younger. Price is less.
But he's 26 still?
Yeah.
I mean, that's
but he's a lot more expensive.
He's 1A and 1B.
Remember, Fernando Tatis Jr.'s contract, not a bad contract, but it is backloaded. So if you acquire him now,
you got to pay the 36 down the road.
All the expensive years down the road.
Jeez, maybe it is Tatis. My God.
As opposed to the, you know, much more affordable. I think Jackson Merrill is your most valuable trade commodity.
Okay.
I think Mason Miller is probably number two. He is controllable,
cheap
for 4 years, I mean, and elite, an absolute, the best arm you can possibly get for a contender that's looking to improve their bullpen.
Yeah, man.
They can justify overpaying for Mason Miller because 100%. It's easy to argue we're a Mason Miller away from winning this thing. If we get to the playoffs and I've got a 3-2 lead in game seven, I bring in Mason Miller. I feel like I'm winning a World Series.
Any playoff team from last year, American League or National League, would be interested.
They'd all be interested in overpaying.
Imagine him in Toronto. Yeah. Game over.
Yeah.
It's game over. Jeff Hoffman. Here's your options. Mason Miller or Jeff Hoffman. Obviously, the Blue Jays got a taste. And we know what that's like to get a, not even that close of a taste, but we know what it's like to get a taste and go balls to the wall. That's what Toronto Blue Jays are doing right now. But yeah, they're, that would be, I mean, yeah, okay, so Merrill, Miller,
Tatis.
Then
probably Tatis.
Now, again, you can do Estrada because he's cheaper, but, you know, Tatis
Morahone,
Morahone on value.
But those guys aren't, with Morahone's got 1 year left, Estrada's got, two?
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to bring back the return. Now, they could give you a good player or two, but not a Tatis-like return if you're actually looking. Plus, you have to sell any Tatis trade, if you're even talking about it, which I don't think they are, you know how your fan base is going to react. So you have to really be able to say, I know we didn't want to do this, but do you see what we're getting back?
Yeah.
I mean, this is incredible. We had to say yes to this.
Full no trade.
The full no trade. Like somebody just said, what about Paul Skeens? Yeah. Fernando's not going, I'll go to Pittsburgh. No chance.
No chance.
No chance. Oh, man. Well,
Crony's name gets thrown out there every day.
Every year, this time. But he's not a huge...
He's not a huge needle mover.
No, he's not a huge needle mover.
He's kind of like right in the middle. I feel like
He's not super expensive.
He's a league average player, and he's making, what, 11?
Yeah.
12? Like, probably what a league average infielder should make.
Yeah, Eno tweeted about him yesterday, and we'll talk about Eno Saris's interesting tweet here in a moment as well. Jake Cronenworth deal, 5 years, 61, is not really underwater for a 32-year-old projected to be around league average next year. It just doesn't have any additional value. So someone could basically just take the contract, maybe a team closer to the luxury tax that likes the AAV. So you're not going to get much back for him. But, you know,
He's not going to kill you,
and you're not
getting
exceptional value. He's, like, literally just right down the middle.
Like, Jake, way too much to give him away
100%.
To save money. They're not going to do that. They might trade him if someone offers them something
enticing.
And, you know, they feel like they can get better in the future. You have to consider that. But they're not giving Jake away to save $10 million.
Is the player rep for that.
Yeah.
He's the player rep for that clubhouse. And is instrumental in the players' union for trying to get a new CBA done. Jake Cronenworth is a pretty valuable dude in that clubhouse. He's very well respected, very well liked. He's certainly liked by the media. We love Jake. Would I like him to produce a little bit more? Absolutely. But he doesn't kill this team at all by being on it. At all.
No.
He doesn't break you financially.
He helps the team.
Of course.
And that's why he'd be of interest to other teams because they like a player who can help their team like a Jake Cronenworth would. Yeah, there's a lot of unknowns here in that paragraph from Kevin AC.
If there's any shred of truth to what AC was alluding to, a massive couple of trades.
I have a weird idea.
Like, you can't have this team come back and it's not going to look even a shred of what they looked like last year.
I have a weird idea. I know one player that has been on AJ Preller's vision board for many, many years. Many years. And if you want to connect the dots, I feel like a real pud doing this right now. I'm working it out in my brain. He loves a player so much. You know who I'm talking about? Loves him. Covets him.
I have a couple of guys in mind.
His name's Francisco Lindor.
Yep.
Francisco Lindor and Juan Soto allegedly banging heads in New York.
Mendoza got really mad about that yesterday.
He
said that is not true.
Okay.
But sometimes when you get really mad about something, there is a kernel of truth to it.
What's he supposed to say? Of course he's going to say there's no...
You just acquired Marcus Semien.
Who? Yeah.
The Mets.
Yeah.
So you have infield depth now.
They have 19 infielders.
Yeah.
He loves Francisco Lindor. Loves him. Has been after him forever. Mason Miller. Couple other names.
Well, you can't add... I don't think you can add Lindor's
salary.
He's got
a massive salary.
Without shedding salary.
Tatis. No way.
That's the thing. I think that would probably be part of
the deal.
That's
a MLB The Show trade.
I thought you were going to say J-Ram.
Loves J-Ram, too. Where's J-Ram play?
First base. DH.
Put Manny at first. J-Ram at three.
Yeah. Or Xander and Mason Miller.
To who?
To the Mets. I don't think it's enough for the Mets.
Mets have not signed Diaz. Diaz is going to be a Dodger, is my guess. TN Overland said Lindor's not being traded. I don't think he will either.
I know
he loves him. I don't know if I'm sure he has full no trade as well.
This is the most wild of speculation on our part.
I was just thinking. I know he loves him.
He likes Lindor a lot.
No, I heard Scooble's going to the Dodgers.
Yeah. Did you see that dumb rumor yesterday? I actually saw Dodger fans complaining about this yesterday. It infuriated
me.
Complaining about it.
About a potential.
Like, I don't want to see this. I do not want to see. I hate when my team lands a generational superstar in Tarek Skubal.
Padres did make a move yesterday. We can discuss it. And adding to their coaching staff as well. More news coming up from the winter meetings. Next, hour number two of Ben and Woods on The Fan.